myself, I belong to you. Lead me to the cross.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Lord, we thank you for the opportunity just to come before you, and we thank you for the wonderful opportunity just to give back to you a portion that you have blessed us with. And Lord, we ask that you would take these tithes and take these offerings and multiply them, use them to expand your kingdom, and we just offer them to you as a form of worship. We praise you and honor you, for you gave so much for all of us. The least that we can do is to give back to you. So, Father, take them, multiply them, use them to expand your kingdom for your glory's sake. And, Lord, as we turn to your holy writ, as your holy word, we just ask that our hearts would be opened, our minds would be stimulated, our feet would be put into action, and our lives would be changed forever. We praise you and honor you. We pray all this in the wonderful and the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. We have a special ministry prepared for you. You can meet Joanna at the door. She will take you to the class, and she will teach you a lesson from the Bible, especially prepared for them. As they are being dismissed, I don't know if you're a follower of sports, but if you are a follower of sports, this past week, you will remember with me that the return of LeBron James to the Cleveland Cavaliers, I don't know if anybody else has kind of gotten caught up in all that, you know, all of that hoopla and all of those things and different things like that. But, you know, 4 years ago, LeBron was vilified when he went on television and he announced his decision to take his talents to South Beach. It is interesting how polarized we as a nation can become over something such as an iconic athlete making a decision that we don't like or we don't even understand. I heard of a poll out of Cleveland from a news channel in Cleveland that did a poll, and they asked individuals if they were happy that LeBron was coming back to Cleveland. And 47% of the individuals said yes, and the interesting thing was 53% of the individuals polled said no. And we can become very polarized. We can become so entrenched in our likes, our dislikes, and our wants, and our desires. And friends, it's not just about athletes or celebrities. It is about our likes and dislikes. It's about our preferences. It's about what you and I are partial to. I could ask everybody here this morning questions like, what type of ice cream do you like? What's your favorite color, and what is your favorite sports team? What are your favorite foods, and what's your favorite animal? And for as many people that are here this morning, we would get that many differing answers. We would get a variety of answers throughout. And friends, we do have preferences, we have favorites, and we even discriminate. And I'll say that again. You and I, we discriminate. Every time we choose, we discriminate against one thing to the choice of another thing. We discriminate against that which we are not partial to for that which we are partial to. We can be partial to a celebrity or an athlete. We can be partial to a sports team and not like the opponent. We are partial to some things and not others. And the definition of being partial is to be biased, to be prejudiced in favor of a person, a group, a side. And in our country, the word prejudice, when I was growing up, it carries a negative connotation. It carries a connotation that is not good. It is not proper. But we are prejudiced. If we're truly honest with ourselves, we are prejudiced to those things that we like. We are prejudiced to those things that we are partial to. And we all live lives that are partial to things throughout each day. The unfortunate tragedy is that when we import this partiality into our view and our relationship with God, listen to an experience of Mahatma Gandhi. He tells of this in his autobiography, and he says, it was a very deplorable incident that occurred in my life. And he says in his autobiography that during his student days, he was interested in the Bible, and he was deeply touched by the reading of the Gospels. He seriously considered becoming a convert. Christianity seemed to offer the real solution to the caste system that was dividing the people of India. One Sunday, he went to church to see a minister and ask for instruction on the way of salvation and other Christian doctrines. But when he entered the sanctuary, the ushers refused him a seat and suggested that he go back and worship with his own people. He begins and furthermore tells, he says, "I left and I never went back." If Christians have caste differences, also, he said to himself, I might as well remain a Hindu. From time to time, as unfortunate and deplorable as that is, we hear of stories of pastors and individuals who are being led by God to live as homeless people and traveling across the country of America and not telling that they have incredible wealth. But these pastors and these Christians, they go to the churches and they ask for food, they ask for help and assistance, and they are told time and time again, we don't do that here. That's sad. It's tragic. It's heartbreaking. But it's very real, friends. It's very real. And when we begin to import that into our belief about God, that's when we really get into trouble. And when we think about God's attributes, we often think of God as being all-powerful and all-knowing and unchanging and ever-present. We even think of God's eternality, his justice, his perfect grace, his unending love, his mercy, and his faithfulness. And sadly, when our studies are done, we often miss the one attribute which is through and through the scriptures. And friends, that's God's impartiality. Because God is impartial. God is not the respecter of any people. He is not like you and me as a human. You see, we place people in categories based upon their looks and what they wear, what they possess, their jobs, their family, and the list could go on and on and on. It's a very good thing that God isn't like us. If he were to look at us based upon what we bring to the table, we all would be in a troubled state. We do play favorites each day. We view people through the lens of partiality, and God is impartial. He always has been impartial, and he always will be. All throughout the scriptures, the theme of God's impartiality is seen. We're told in Deuteronomy that the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty and awesome God who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. The words of the book of Proverbs tells us that these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality. Then the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans says that tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. But I want us to listen to the words of our Lord. Listen to the words of Jesus. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. You see, God is impartial, and he expects his people, you and me, to be impartial too. And that's his call upon our lives, to be impartial. And this is the very theme that the author James, Jesus' half-brother, he picks up on in our text for this morning. And it's found in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. If you brought your Bibles, and I certainly hope that you have, turn to James chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. James speaks and he says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. You see, in Jesus' day, people vied for power. They vied for position and prestige. They yearned to be honored, and they wanted to be praised. And I don't think it's much different in our world. I don't think it's much different in our day. We have a culture, a society that yearns to be honored, praised, and for that prestige. Remember, if you will, with me, the disciples who were arguing amongst themselves, who would sit at the right hand of Jesus. And the right hand is the place of honor, the place of preference. And they were arguing amongst themselves who it would be. We're no different. Our society is filled with those people who climb the corporate ladders. They strive to grab a political office or obtain positions in the church. And yes, I said positions in the church. Because they want to augment their life and they want to edify their life. Our world is filled with people wanting to be honored and praised in order to enhance their own image. This is James's message to us, and I'm going to summarize it in one sentence. The way that you and I behave toward people indicates what we really believe about God. The way you and I relate and behave toward people, it indicates what we really believe about God. And I'll break that down for you. If we behave toward people in a partiality way, if we're only around those people that are like us and talk like us and look like us and speak like us and smell like us, then our belief about God is this, that he too is partial and he too has his select few. And friends, it's not true. It is not so. We're going to find in a little bit that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all and that God's grace goes to all people, irregardless of their past, irregardless of what they've been and who they were and where they've gone and what they've said. God's grace goes there. And yet, when we behave toward people in a way that isn't consistent with how God behaves toward them, we are truly telling the world who is watching what we believe about our Lord, our King. If we are partial, then we believe that God is partial and somehow we're trying to make ourselves feel better about our own situation. If we judge and we play favorites, then we are usurping God's role of judge. You know, see, our society, we have the desire to be impartial. If you remember with me in your mind, Lady Justice is the symbol of our justice system. And remember with me, she stands there holding scales and she is blindfolded. And the reason she is blindfolded is to say that she does not look at the external appearances, but she looks at the motivations of the heart. And yet, irregardless of what we feel and think and say, I was watching a TV show on History Channel, and they put up two individuals. One was clean-shaven and very well-dressed, and the other was scruffy and not so well-dressed. And in a monotone voice, each individual says to everybody that they brought before them, "Do you trust me?" And inevitably, everybody that was there picked the one that was clean-shaven and well-dressed. You see, we do it. We judge by appearances. We judge by actions. We judge by looks and what people say and how they carry themselves. And friends, the way we behave toward people, it indicates what we really believe about God. When we are partial, we usurp God's position. We're seeking and trying to become the one who determines worth, acceptance, and honor. And I want to give you three different things that we can do to cultivate a lifestyle of being impartial. And these are essential. The first thing is that we must believe that Jesus was impartial. The religious leaders, they said this about Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 16. And they said, "And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men.'" Friends, God does not look at the outward appearance, but he views the heart, and we must remember that. We must hold on to that, and we must grasp that. If you recall with me, the poor widow, she walked up and gave two mites, and then there was this rich man that gave a large donation, and Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "She has given more than what anyone else has." Impartiality. Jesus levels the playing field. We can remember the calling of Matthew and Peter and James and John. Matthew, a tax collector, and he eventually becomes one of the writers of the Gospels. You see, Jesus didn't look at who he was associating with. He looked at the heart. He looked at what they would become. Peter, a man full of anger, and James and John, the sons of thunder. We could look at all of the disciples. And friends, if we were picking a team, the 12 would not be who we would pick. But yet Jesus looks into the heart. Peter being impulsive, and yet Jesus saw strength. Even the Samaritan woman, ostracized because of her society status and of her gender, and yet Jesus, by the well, he stops and talks to her. The list goes on and on and on, and we don't have time to cover all of them, but Jesus, he always was meeting individuals not based upon what they looked like or what they did or who they were. He was meeting them based upon their need. He was meeting them based upon an impartial view of people. We, you and I, we need to stop viewing everyone in light of their past, and we must look at everyone, including ourselves, with the eyes of Christ. I can't tell the time that I didn't pray this prayer. Lord, give me your eyes to see what you see. Give me your ears to hear what you hear. Because friends, if I'm left to my own devices, I'm going to view people on their external appearances, and I am not any different than anyone else. We're all going to gravitate toward those people who are like us. You can gaze across the sanctuary. There's a reason why you are sitting where you're sitting. There's a reason why you are grouped in where you're grouped. Because we naturally gravitate toward those people that are like us, toward those people that we know. And the way we behave toward people, it indicates what we really believe about God. This is very difficult, and we, you and I, we must be aware of our tendencies each day. And I offer you an illustration of this by H.A. Ironside in his book, titled Illustrations of Bible Truth. He pointed out the folly of judging others. He related an incident in the life of a man called Bishop Potter. Bishop Potter was sailing for Europe on one of the great transatlantic ocean liners. When he went on board, he found that another passenger was to share the cabin with him. After going to see the accommodations, he came up to the purser's desk and he inquired if he could leave his gold watch and other valuables in the ship's safe. He explained that ordinarily he never availed himself of that privilege, but he had been to his cabin and had met the man who was to occupy the other side of the cabin. Judging from his appearance, he was afraid that he might not be a very trustworthy person. The purser accepted the responsibility for the valuables and remarked, "It's all right, Bishop. I'll be very glad to take care of them for you. The other man has already been here and left his for the same reason." It's funny, but we do it. We do it even when we don't realize that we are doing it. We judge people. We analyze. We look at them from the externals, and we need to begin to understand that Jesus was impartial. We serve an impartial God. There is no one alive today on the face of this earth that is unable to approach God if they so desire. God is available to all if they yearn to approach him. The second thing that we need to do is to cultivate a life of being impartial. We must believe that God's grace is impartial. We're told in Romans 10, 11 through 13, that whoever believes on God will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's not social class, there's not gender, there's not nationality, there's not any looks or anything other than anyone who is alive or has lived that can approach the throne of grace and call upon the name of Christ, they will be saved because God's grace is impartial. God also, he ignores social differences. In Ephesians, we're told about masters and slaves and doing them and giving up threatening the slaves, knowing that your own master always is in heaven and there's no partiality with him. You see, friends, when we grasp God's grace and it being impartial, we will begin to relate to people on the basis of God's plan and not on the basis of human merit or social status. Jesus, God, is impartial. Jesus, God's grace is impartial. And I want to challenge all of us right here. Today we're going to Western Avenue. 3:30, the individuals will leave. Those individuals will look different. They will act different. They will be different. But I want to challenge all of us here to quit viewing people based upon their externals and view them for who they truly are. And I'm going to tell you who they are. In Genesis, we are told that all men and women are created in the image of God. And you know what all people on the face of this earth are? They are image bearers with the stamp of God upon them. It doesn't matter their past. It doesn't matter where they've been, what they said, who they've done, or where they've gone. It doesn't matter what their past is. What matters is they are an image bearer of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They have been created in the Creator's God's image, the one who inhabits eternity. And when we begin to foster that sense of understanding and begin to foster of reality, you and I, how we behave and interact with people, it will never, ever, ever be the same. I want to share with you a story that took place in Vacation Bible School week. The crew leaders, primarily, I was responsible with them, and for those of you that don't know, they're mostly teenagers. We had some crew leaders that weren't. And day one, there was a teenager that came up to me, and I will not mention the teenager's name. It's irrelevant. But the fact of the matter is that they came up to me and they said, Max, there's this little boy here, and he is driving me crazy, this and that and the other, and giving me this whole long list of complaints about this young man. And I began to feel these complaints and began to try to work with this crew leader to help them to, you know, mitigate the circumstance. And I don't know what happened, if it was me remembering the study, not a fan, but something clicked in my mind. And I looked at this crew leader and I said, what's his name? And the crew leader said, I don't know. I looked at the crew leader and I said, I don't want to hear another word from you until you can come back and tell me his name. You see, when we judge based upon appearances, when we view people based upon what they have, we miss the whole relational component of life. And we don't even understand where people have been, the struggles that they've gone through, and how God has worked in their life and what they have to offer. We omit all of that. The rest of the story is this. I never heard back from that crew leader. And a couple days later, maybe later on that day, I walked up and I said, what's his name? And she told me. That's how it works. But when we focus on the externals, we focus only on what we have here and how we look, how we act, we miss the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is what God wants to do in us and through us and how he wants us to relate to other people. Because, friends, his grace goes there. If his grace doesn't go to the people that are struggling and have gone places that we may never have gone, then it doesn't go to you or to me. Jesus is impartial. God's grace is impartial. And I want to leave you with this. The last thing that we need to do, and it moves from belief to actions now. The first two things are about belief, and our belief about God being impartial, which he is, and that has to be foundational. The second thing, it has to move to God's grace and how he offers everything for you and for me as being impartial, and this is where it moves to action. Listen to this scripture out of 1 John, and I leave you with this morning. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother or sister in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Friends, the world's goods, they could be money, they could be time, they could be talents, they could be possessions, they could be help, they could be friendship, they could be the use of a vehicle. The list could go on, and yet the message for you and me is clear. What happens in our heart and my heart when we see someone who looks, talks, acts, and even smells different? Do we immediately dismiss them as being, I'm not going there? Do we judge them? Do we move from them in favor of other people who are like us? Or do we strive to hear them, to hear their needs, to hear their struggles, to hear their pain, to hear exactly what they're dealing with, to hear their life experience and their story? Do we look to connect with them? I certainly hope and I pray that we will be a people, a church. Trinity United Methodist Church will be a church that is not partial. Because, friends, if we become partial, we've missed the whole message of the gospel. We've missed the message of Christ, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. We have missed the message of the cross. Come to me, everyone, not come to me who looks this way or does that or goes here. That was the problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's how they viewed God. Jesus says, come to me. It matters not where you've been, what you've done. And I pray and I hope that Trinity United Methodist Church is a church that isn't partial to a certain people, a certain group of people, but we will embrace, we will love on, we will hear and connect and listen to those individuals in their brokenness. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the message of James, your half-brother. We thank you, Jesus, for the challenge to not to be partial. And we admit and we confess that sometimes we get caught up in it. Sometimes we get trapped in it. Lord, forgive us for our fallenness. Forgive us for being partial, even when we don't want to be partial. And Jesus, I pray that you would grant us all your eyes to see what it is that you want us to see. Give us your ears to hear what it is that you want us to see. And oh God, gracious King, we pray that your spirit would abound more and more deep within our hearts and souls, and we would reflect a true understanding of you, the true God, the God who isn't partial, the God who loves, who lavishes love upon all of us, because that is your nature. We thank you for this challenge. May we believe and may we act and behave in a way that is becoming of you, in a way that is glorifying unto you, in a way that blesses you, and in a way that is reflective of your trueness. So, Lord, may we be impartial as you are impartial. We praise you and honor you, and we pray this in the mighty and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Okay, so this song that we're going to sing goes with Pastor Max's message. And I don't know, we didn't even know he was going to say that, you know? Like, it just happened. Well, God made it happen. And, excuse me, and it's like how he said, how people view you by the way you look, the way you act. I personally do not judge people, and because I think it's wrong. Well, I have a few questions. I want you to raise your hand too, okay? Who here has a nose? I do. A mouth, eyes, a forehead, a chin, arms, legs. Okay, I know we all don't like look alike and stuff and act alike, but we all have the same, you know? And we are alike in a way because we're obviously all the same species and we're all human. And this song also, Allison wrote it, and it was, she was bullied, and so was I. And have you ever been bullied? I have. And I know people, you will remember it because it does not feel good. And it's okay, you don't have to show me if you're like quiet about that stuff, but that's all right. But we're gonna sing now. Okay. Oh yeah, it's called Beautiful.
You can try to tell me different. You can try to break my heart. You can say mean things to me that might tear me apart. But I have the kindest heart, because I'm beautiful, beautiful in my own way. Because I'm beautiful, beautiful in my own way. Because I'm beautiful, beautiful in my own way. Because God made me this way. He made me this way. He made me this way. You can try to tell me I'm not worth it. You can say mean things behind my back. You can make fun of me, but I know I'm better than that. Because I'm beautiful, beautiful in my own way. Because I'm beautiful, beautiful in my own way. Because I'm beautiful, beautiful in my own way. Because God made me this way. He made me this way. He made me this way. Because I'm beautiful, beautiful in my own way. Because I'm beautiful, beautiful in my own way. Because I'm beautiful, beautiful in my own way. Because God made me this way. He made me this way.
Praise God. You know, the Bible tells us that all of us are fearfully and wonderfully made, and all believers, all people are fearfully and wonderfully made. It doesn't matter if they're Christians or not Christians yet, but we need to see how beautiful people are, because God truly has stamped every person with his image, and he has placed his image upon all people. And as we depart, maybe the God of all peace and the God of all love flood your heart, flood your soul, and flood your mind. And may we depart in the peace of Jesus, the peace of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May you and I depart in peace. Amen.